morning. Great to see you all here this morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5, verses 25 through 32 is our text for this morning. Thank you today for your labors and presiding this morning. Some of you may wonder, look over to our pew and see that Orlena's not here this morning. Most of you know Orlena works occasionally as a nurse at the hospital, and nurses have to take their turns working shifts that nobody else wants to work. And this morning is her turn, so I'm particularly thankful this morning. Jenny, my seven-year-old, is our MVP as far as getting this family to church on time, getting all the kids ready. It is great to have kids that rise up and take responsibility, and I was thrilled at the good work she did and the kids did to get us here on time. So thankful for that. Be honest right from the start. The text is Genesis 5, 25 to 32. The large portion of this sermon will hone in on 5:29, the prayer at Noah's birth, the verses around it serving as context. Just a brief setup. Genesis 3 is pregnant. I use that intentionally. Is pregnant with the hope of a child born to crush the head of the serpent. What we see in Genesis 4 and 5 is children are born, unfolding the Bible's narrative of grace. So you have Cain born, the hoped for but failed seed of the woman. Seth is born, that was last week, the appointed replacement seed of the woman. And now today, Noah is born, and we encounter the prayer at Noah's birth. And this week, just like last week with Seth, this birth this week whispers the name of another baby born. A fairly loud whisper, you might say. Some of you might be asking the question on a morning like this, am I going to preach on the incarnation of Jesus Christ today, the Son of God, become man? Well, honestly, Genesis 5 is just the next text in our sermon series, and I have no idea how to preach this text without honing in on the one who fulfilled this text in his birth. So we are just going to try to be faithful to the text this morning. It is good to be repeatedly discipled in the truth and wonder of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. One of the best ways to be shaped in the incarnation and really the whole work of Christ is going to come out this morning, is to hone in on those texts of the Old Testament that cry out for the coming of Jesus. In a sense, the whole Old Testament is in labor pains, longing for a baby to come, longing for a Savior to come in this painful world. And so we're going to immerse ourselves, in a sense, in that pain this morning and find our answer in Jesus. So with that in mind, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read this text in Genesis 5, and then actually read as well a few other verses that will shape our reading of this text as fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Genesis 5, 25 to 32, listen to the Word of God. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived, after he fathered Lamech, 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then a few words from Isaiah 40. The name Noah means comfort, at the same word root as comfort or relief. Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Later in Scripture, Matthew 11, Jesus himself Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, you promise through the pouring out of your word like rain from the sky to lead us out in joy and to lead us in peace, that the mountains and the hills before us would break into singing. The trees will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, a cypress. Instead of the briar, a myrtle. You promise this in your word. Make it so among us this morning. We need this. We desperately need the thorn to become a cypress for us and for your world. And so through this, God, make a name for yourself, O God. Lord, cause the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be hallowed among us as we encounter you in this text. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The longing for relief, comfort, rest at the birth of Noah is met in the coming of Jesus Christ. Noah, his name is in the word family of relief or rest. We've been singing, longing for rest this morning. The prayer for his life, verse 29, is for relief to be brought through him. And so the longing for relief and rest at the birth of Noah is indeed met in the coming of Jesus Christ. That is the point of this morning's sermon. Sometimes Old Testament preaching, you sort of see Jesus brought in through the back door. No back door this morning. That is the point. That's where we're headed. And our job this morning is just to swim in that truth. To dive into our Savior, to dive into the longings that filled Lamech and the world as Noah was born, and then to see it fulfilled in Jesus. I'll preface our considerations or musing by just thinking about two questions I could ask you before you leave this morning. It's the last sermon of 2022. And so I could ask you two questions thinking about the year to come. I could ask you first, what would you like to do in 2023? What would you like to do next year? Maybe I'd hear some resolution. Maybe I'd hear about a change in your job or your school or a vacation destination you'd like to go to. It's the kind of question you'd very likely be comfortable with sharing in a large room and having various people overhear the kinds of things you're thinking about for the year to come. So I could ask you that question. A second question I could ask you is, what would you like to find rest from in 2023? What would you like to find relief from? That question probes a bit more intensely, doesn't it? It's the kind of question that, if you were to be really honest in your answer to that question, fully honest, only the closest people to you in the world would have full access to your answer. Why? Because the true answer for most of us would start to unearth fear, loss, pain, sadness, shame, guilt, and many other hearts-rending emotions. And my guess is if you could choose between the two options, what you do in next year and what you find relief from next year, you would choose the latter. You would choose the latter. Or maybe you would choose tasks that you could do to get you to the latter, to get you to the relief you long for. This morning's sermon has the second question in mind. Not promising relief in the year to come from all your sorrows, but probing at man's longing for relief. Your longing for 529, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, would someone bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands? Here's our approach. We're going to zoom in. We're going to zoom in, hone in very closely on 529, on Noah's birth. And then we're going to zoom out, put 529 in broader context of so far in Genesis, and then press in to Jesus Christ. Zoom in, zoom out, and then press in to Christ. And that movement really will be the application of the sermon. The application of the sermon is bring your longing for relief. Zoom it in, see what Lamech was longing for. Set it in context of the big biblical story, and then press in deeply to Jesus Christ. There you go. You have your sermon application. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll start with zooming in. Zooming in to 529. Out of the ground at Noah's birth, Lamech, his father, says this, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Noah is the 10th in the line of sons flowing from Seth, whose birth we saw last week. Today in our reading, we meet Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. These are seeds of the woman, as it were, called to follow in the way of promise. Maybe a faint or a slight connection. The line of Cain ended with a Lamech, and we heard what he had to say about the world, which was crying out of his glory. And the line of Seth hits this climax, and we get to Lamech, another Lamech, crying not about his glory, but basically crying out, saying, we need help. We really need help. 10 generations in, flowing from Adam, 1,000 years in here, Lamech, and he's actually speaking on behalf of everyone here, says, we need relief. Lamech could have written Psalm 55. He could have written Psalm 126, or he would have loved to sing Psalm 126 of God bringing relief. And what we see that he's doing here is, in a sense, he's giving a press conference on behalf of the world at the birth of his son. He's outside the front of the hospital, and the microphone is in front of him, and he's speaking on behalf of everyone. He's not just talking about his personal pain. He speaks in the first person plural. This one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech has heard the cries of the whole world. He's heard the noise. He's heard the fire engines and the ambulances and the police cars all around the hospital. He hears the cries. He hears the cry in the hospital room across from him, as it were. And he has a very strong sense, we all are very, very tired. And we long for relief. And that hour, that we of Lamech invites us to join in his cry, invites you to say, amen, brother. Amen. We feel that. We feel with Lamech. Our church, I think, is feeling it as we thought about it in prayer this morning. We can say, put my name on your prayer, Lamech. I need relief too. I need relief too. Relief in what way? Relief from what? A cursed world with hurting hands that we can't fix. A cursed world with hurting hands that we can't fix. That's what Lamech sees. When Lamech looks outside of him, he sees curse. He experiences curse. If I told you after service this morning that my laptop had a problem, something wasn't working quite right, and this isn't true, just a hypothetical scenario. If I told you this, that my laptop had a problem, you might say, well, Best Buy's just up the road. How about you take it to the Geek Squad and see what they could do? If I told you that my laptop hadn't been working right for months, and that this thing seems to be cursed, you would say, sounds like you need a new laptop. Lamech is operating with the latter. Lamech is not saying, seems like there's something that needs tweaking. Lamech is saying, not just one little piece of equipment is cursed. Lamech is saying, I can't go anywhere without seeing curse. Not new parts needed. Whole thing is cursed. That's Lamech's world. You know, it's pretty frequent for Christians, and I know I've used this concept in the pulpit before, to speak of everything as broken. Everything is broken, and that may be helpful in a certain set of context or used in a certain way, the idea of we're broken and we need fixing. But we have to acknowledge in the ultimate sense of reality that Lamech is right. It's not just brokenness that's the problem. There's a curse. Cursed world that we live in. Something is dreadfully wrong with the world around us. And combined with that, our hands hurt. It's very painful. A cursed world with hurting hands. When Lamech looks outside him, he sees curse. When he looks at his own hands, he sees stains of blood. He sees calluses. He's hurting. His body aches when he goes to bed at night. That sort of thing. Outside and inside. It's possible, you know, that I could tell the story about my hypothetical broken laptop and laugh about it. Kind of funny. It won't work right for me. Or maybe deep down I'm excited about a new laptop and hoping that someone else is going to pay for it and give it to me as a gift. That sort of thing. We could have a sort of, this doesn't hurt so bad about the curse that I'm experiencing. But when Noah's born, Lamech isn't laughing. He's hurting. He's crying. This world is painful and it's on his own body. We don't just have a cursed world, right? We have the scars to prove it. We have the scars to prove it in our own life. We hurt. And this combination outside of us, cursed world, on us, hurting hands, hurting body all over from top to bottom. This starts to explain the guttural cries that fill our hearts. This starts to explain your answer to what would I like to find relief from next year. The world is cursed. And you've got the scars to prove it. And to add to the whole problem, we can't fix it. Lamech's been at this for 182 years. If you're worried about how old these people were, God is sovereign. He can keep people alive as long as he wants, and this era, very long. Lamech's clear conclusion at this press conference, he can speak about the world's pain, but he is definitely not the five-star general to fix the problem. Maybe my son, I can't fix this thing. If we could fix the fear, let's face it, if we could fix the fear, the loss, the pain, the sadness, the shame, or the guilt, we'd be maybe almost joyfully glib about the whole thing. We'd be like players of a board game, and everybody thinks we're losing. But we have the piece or the card that nobody knows we have, and we're just pumping with excitement on the inside because when it gets to our turn, we're going to play that settlement. We're going to bring those armies in the game of risk. They didn't know we're coming, and we're winning this thing, and we can't wait for everyone to see it. They think we're cursed. They think we've got pain. We're about to win. But Lamech isn't there. Lamech has no cards to play. Lamech has no pieces. Lamech doesn't have the money in the bank to fix this thing. The best thing he can think is maybe someone else does. We can't fix it. A cursed world, hurting hands, we can't fix it. The sum of this concoction, I desperately need relief. A desperate need that some way relief would come. It's the famous Bilbo Baggins line. I feel I need a holiday, a very long holiday, probably a permanent holiday. I don't expect I shall return. I feel all thin, sort of stretched, if you know what I mean, like butter that has been scraped over too much bread. That can't be right. I need a change or something. We're thin, we're stretched, we're tired. Can someone bring relief? And desperate Lamech, the best thing he can think is that maybe his child will bring that salvation. So far, we've just been zooming in on 529. Laser focused on this verse, not yet setting it in its broader context. Here's reality. Right now, I think most of Columbus, Indiana would say at some level, yeah, Lamech is right. Maybe they wouldn't invoke the name of the Lord. Maybe they wouldn't use a word like cursed. But people agree there's some kind of crisis. Something's wrong in our external environment. We have scars that run deep. And wouldn't it be great if somebody else could fix this? Maybe a politician, maybe a spouse, maybe my favorite quarterback for 3 hours on Saturday afternoon will give me relief from my pain. But somebody, Somebody, wouldn't it be great if somebody came and fixed this? Here's the opportunity the Christian has to say, you long for relief, I long for relief. We agree that we have this problem. Lamech makes sense. Now, can I talk about how this fits in the biblical story? Because your longings actually make sense in view of what God is doing in Scripture. So now, let's just zoom out a little bit. Let's zoom out. Genesis 5:29, let's zoom out and look at Genesis 1:1 through 5:29. Do you hear what Lamech is asking for? Does it sound a bit like Lamech is asking for an Adam to show up? He's asking for a new Adam. Do you hear that? A starting point at getting at that, if you do the math of Genesis 5 with all the years, don't do it now. Don't get your calculator out. You can do it this afternoon. Just believe me at this point. Lamech is born 4 years before Adam dies. He's born 4 years before Adam dies. He's the last connection point between Adam and the next generation. And when Lamech gives birth to his firstborn son, this is the first baby born, maybe not the first baby born in a non-Adam world, but it's the first in this generation, right? Born in the non-Adam world. Adam is gone. Lamech is asking for someone to take his place. Do you see that? And what Lamech is doing here, he's tapping into Adam's calling and Adam's curse. Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed. Adam is formed from the ground. The name Adam actually means of the ground. 10 seconds of Hebrew for you this morning. What Lamech is saying when he says out of the ground, the word ground there is basically Adam. He's saying from Adama. From Adama, may we experience relief. May we get some kind of Adam for us from the ground. We need an Adam. And he speaks of painful toil of our hands. Where did Lamech get the idea of hands having painful toil? Genesis 3:17, God's curse to Adam. In pain, you shall eat of the ground all the days of your life. And then with this idea of relief, Lamech seems to be tapping into the purpose for man laid out in Genesis 1. Noah has some kind of work and labor of the ground to do. Reminds you of day 6 of creation. Man is called to be fruitful, multiply, labor in the ground, fill the earth, subdue it, and so on. Now, what comes after day 6? You can get your calculator out for this one. Any mathematicians here? What day comes after day 6? Day 7. Day 7. Rest. Sabbath. Relief. Completion of work. Delight in a job well done. Finish. Day 7. If I was going to give a name of a person to ascribe to day 7, I would pick Noah. Day 7 in a name is Noah, comfort, rest. You see, man is made to work with a move of day 6 into day 7. Our week is structured this way, of an entrance into rest. And this structure of Genesis 1 is also the structure of human life. A great longing that our work would give way to rest. Here's what's happening. So Genesis 1, work is supposed to give way to rest. Genesis 5, lots and lots of work, no rest. It's a cursed world. Work's happening, but no rest. I wonder if any of you kids know the story of Greek mythology of Sisyphus. Kids, maybe picture for a moment. You had a job that you were given at the start of next year where you had to roll a boulder, a very large rock, up the tallest hill you've ever seen, okay? Maybe you've been to Brown County, very large hills there. And every time, so you're rolling this very heavy rock up this hill, and every time it gets to the top, or you approach the top, the thing will roll down on you to the bottom and you have to start over. And this is your job for the rest of your life. That in Greek mythology, and it's just mythology here, but that is the task given to Sisyphus. And we actually have an expression A Sisyphean task. A Sisyphean task is one where you do lots and lots of work and you never get to rest. And the experience of Lamech is an experience, you could say, of a Sisyphean world where we work and we work and we work and we never get to rest. To paraphrase a line from C.S. Lewis, in Noah's world, it's always day six, never day seven. We're never getting to rest. We're never getting to the completion. Always working, never relief, never rest. That's the experience. And so we see that in Noah's birth, that the statement of 529 reveals why we desperately long for relief at the fullest level of our hearts. We were made for this. We were made for this. We were not made to be students that get to the end of a semester and get six incompletes, and our professor says, you got to keep working over winter break. You're not done. We were not made to wake up each morning and say, oh, back to work, back to work. There's never going to be any rest, never got anything done. We are a day six people made to experience Sabbath, made for the boulder to stop on top of the mountain. We're longing for a Sabbath that we were made for, and we can't get there. And 182 years in, and most of us, it takes us far fewer than 182 years, you get this discovery, I don't think I can get it done. I don't think I can relieve myself of all these burdens. We have this sense of restlessness. That's the zooming out. Now, one additional comment from the zoom out, and then we'll press into Jesus. Why was this world so painful? What caused it? What caused it? The sin of Adam there in the garden. Genesis chapter 3. What Lamech is longing for is an undoing of a curse. But to undo the curse, the heart issue, the deepest problem must be addressed. Does Lamech just need an Adam to come? Does Lamech just need an Adam to come and be a better farmer than Lamech has proven to be? Is that really the issue? A little preview of next week's sermon. Genesis 6:5, Noah's world. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see, the expose of Adam or Noah's world is not just that it's cursed and that we have the scars to show it. The expose is that we hurt. We cause hurt. We act like the man who took the fruits. We act like students who skipped the final exam to go party. And no wonder the professor says, you have no relief because you gave up the task. You threw your shovel away. You ate the fruit you weren't supposed to eat, and now you are not entering rest. Not entering rest is the frequent cry of God against his people preparing for the promised land. It's the same thing. As we rebel against the living God, rest will elude us. That doesn't mean that all our restless experiences were to blame, that we caused it. But we need a deep heart transformation. We need rest down here. We need rest down there. The need for Noah is not better farming techniques or a cheerier outlook on life. So much of the shallowness of the way the Western world celebrates and does festivity is there's sort of this happy view of humanity. If we all just sort of sing and smile together at the end of the year, we'll probably find relief. Genesis 3, Genesis 6 says you've got a lot bigger problem than that. We've got a lot bigger problem than that. The Noah we need, can I use a medical illustration here? The Noah we need is not just a pain reliever. We need a heart surgeon. We don't just need pain relief. We need the hearts to be forever changed. Now, How did Noah do with this task? Come back in future weeks. We'll explore that. We know at the end of Noah's life, the final story is failure. Genesis 9, Noah doesn't get the job all the way done. As you read in the Old Testament, there's this continual longing for Noah experience. Psalm 77, my soul refuses to find rest. I'm not finding the rest. Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort. Same word roots here. We long for comfort, and God says it's coming. All glory, all flesh shall see it. Noah is coming. Noah is coming, God tells a weary people. And we could do more with Noah. We could do more with an Old Testament longing, that pregnant longing that fills the Old Testaments. But for now, let's just hone in on Jesus. Press into Jesus Christ. We've zoomed into 529 and found ourselves in that verse. We've seen the context. We've zoomed out and seen the broader story of humanity. Now let's press into Jesus Christ. Very first sentence here that I announced after the reading, our longing for relief, our comforts, our longing for relief there at the birth of Noah is met in the coming of Jesus Christ. Noah's world is on full display as Jesus Christ bursts into the scene. You have a pregnant mother traveling across the country. Sounds a bit like Eve in a sense in her pain. You have a king that's trying to kill babies as if he's Pharaoh himself. You have a baby born, swaddling clothes, placed in animal feed. Adam's supposed to rule the animals he's placed there. You have shepherds caring for the hard ground. It's a day six world. It's a day six world after the fall. The ground is hurting. The weary world, you could say, is not rejoicing with full joy. It's crying out with pain. It's day six, but not yet day seven. It's hard work, but not yet relief. And you know the story. Jesus Christ is born. And a terrifying force of angels shows up to shepherds. They are the announcers. They're holding the press conference now about the birth of this child. And these, not like the father of Noah, really are a mighty warrior force. When the host of angels shows up in the Old Testament, thousands can be judged in a night. Go read the story of Sennacherib later this afternoon. These could execute a kind of flood-like judgment on not just the shepherds, but on the world around, this cursed and sinful world. And their announcement taps into the longings of Lamech and you. And it doesn't just long. Lamech longs. The angels announce. The angels say, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace. Peace. Calming. End of clash. We join for most of this sermon. We've just been joining with Lamech for this whole service. Joining with Lamech and saying, couldn't someone bring us rest? Couldn't we have relief? Couldn't we have comforts? Couldn't there be someone who shows up and brings it? And we all admit that the best shots we give in this world, politicians, whoever, don't do a very good job of finding it for us. And these angels show up and say, he's here. He's here. He just showed up. You should go see him. You should go see the baby. Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. That is what he came to do. He came to a cursed world. Jesus does not come to this world like a crop duster, flying over the ground, a little bit above the ground that needs healing, dropping in resources that we might need before flying away and getting dirty. Jesus is not like a crop duster. Jesus came as the Son of God. This is his metaphor, as a seed in the ground itself, to go into the cursed ground, Adam formed from the ground. Jesus goes back into the ground, cursed because of what Adam did. And that's where Jesus does his work. Jesus goes to all the places that receive cursing or punishment or pain in Genesis 3. He goes to the womb of a woman who would cry out in labor, and from it is life. He goes into the hard ground, grows up as a carpenter. He would have had calluses on his hand. He takes that serpent head on. He takes the serpent's head on, and it seems perhaps like the serpent wins. Jesus, from dust you are, to dust you shall return. You will return to the ground. That's Genesis 3:19. Jesus, on day six, is placed into the ground. He's placed into the curse. He's placed into the very location that Adam's curse would lead him, and all the people in Genesis 5 that died. That's the theme of Genesis 5, in a sense. These people died. Jesus goes there. And Jesus wouldn't just have painful hands. There have been holes, nails put through him. He entered this curse. He's a day six man. And there are, in this passage, and in the death of Christ, and in the suffering of Christ, you could read it very well saying, not seeing any relief, not seeing any rest. It's not coming for Jesus, is it? But out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, he came. He came from the womb. He emerged on the third day from the tomb. And in that, he reverses that curse over which you and I cry out so much. And now he is the one to come to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Wherever Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, and I could read the whole Columbus RPC church directory at this point. Wherever any of these people would experience curse, Jesus comes to reverse it, to take the painful toil away. He's our Noah. He's our Noah to bring us relief from the curse that we feel. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you what was prayed over Noah, what you long for. I'll give you rest. It's not a prophecy that the year 2023 is going to be really easy and you're going to find all that relief that you'd long for. It's a better guarantee than that. It's a guarantee that in the presence of Jesus Christ, no matter what happens next year, there is rest in Jesus. There is rest in Jesus. There is rest at that deepest heart level. I'm a sinner against the holy God, and there is curse as a result. There is rest in the forgiveness of sins. There's rest in the pain of my body. Not that I'm going to stop having pain, but a sense that there is a day. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. There's rest in this cursed world. Yes, this environment's not right. But the same thing that began, say, with the birth of new life coming into the world, the resurrection, new life emerging from the grave, that's coming. I'm resting. I'm waiting for what Jesus will do. And so really all there is for you to do now in the days to come is to follow the outline of the sermon. Every preacher would love you all to memorize sermon outlines, I guess. But it's a little more deep than that. Identify, you zoom into 529 and you say, you come to the Lord. And maybe every morning this week you've got to do it. You just pray 529 saying, Lord, the world felt like curse yesterday and I've got the scars to show it. Lord, here they are. And my sin is right on the list of why that's the case. And then you put it in the broader story. You read your scriptures and you say, I'm home here. This is me. This is talking about what I know to be true. You read it and you start to just get a stability by knowing that what you're going through makes sense and part of the biblical story. And then you press into Jesus Christ. You press into him in faith, believing, trusting, saying, yes, that's my anchor. That's what I believe. I can't see it, but I believe it. You become a person of hope. Faith, hope, and love. That's where we're going. Faith, hope, with great hope. Hope not just, I wish it would happen. Because it has happened, because Jesus has come. You're one day closer to everything being made new. You're one day closer for 529 of Genesis to be fully realized in your life. And so you're a hoping person. And then love. You become a person largely at this moment of love for Jesus Christ. There may be a lot of loves in your life that aren't quite the way you want, or things you would love to have happen that may not happen. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can overflow in love to him. And so let's do that even now in prayer. Father, we believe in what you've done. We put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love you. We don't just accept you, God. I pray this would be true for everyone in the morning, here this morning, that we wouldn't just accept that this is true, but that we would love you. We love you as our God. We love you as our strength, who has provided this relief. What a Savior. We do not deserve this relief that we've cried out for, but you provide it in Jesus, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.